Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest, Mystic Pete. We are going to be discussing the first book in his series, Mystic Pete Chronicles, Book 1, Sex and Mysticism. Mystic Pete has a very interesting way to present spirituality and things that will help you manifest. That's the last book, Manifestation. And he's here to tell you about the series. Welcome, Mystic Pete. How are you today?
Hi, Dr. Kolb. It's a beautiful day in Southern California here.
Well, great. So, you want to tell our listening audience a little bit about how you became Mystic Pete?
Sure. When I was a teenager, the doors of my perception just blew open, and I started having extraordinary experiences and feeling thousands of volts of energy come through my body and seeing auras and being able to tell people their past lives. And see, this is a teenager. And, and you know, glass was shattering, and it was an extraordinary kind of awakening over a period of months and years. But it was also very destabilizing. I felt like I was losing touch with reality at one point. I remember one time I was working at a restaurant, and so much energy was coming through me, I just had to put it someplace. And I went over to the punched, surly dishwasher, Louis, and I put my hands like next to his head, and I just started projecting all of this voltage right into him. And he just stood bolt upright and said, Dios mio! And he gave me this big hug, and I just felt like something was communicated and transpired, and he just brightened up, and it seemed like it totally changed him. But that was a very early experience of the kind of healing forces that were coming through me. And he got a better job shortly thereafter. And but my healing powers continued to grow. And I've spent many years developing this, trying to understand and pull apart and find a context for mystical experience so it can be taught. And now I'm just much more powerful and able to show people how they can acquire mystical powers themselves. And people who have these kinds of experiences, they need a context. They need some kind of framework, and I can show people how to do that, too. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's important, because now with this energy coming in, a lot more people are experiencing these kind of phenomena. I wanted to ask you, when this energy started to come through you, did you see malfunction of a lot of electronic things around you?
That is such a wonderful question. Nobody's asked me that. But I do find that there are little electronics elves that sometimes play havoc with machinery. It can be a car, a computer. When there's kind of a discharge of psychic energy, there's some connection there. I don't quite understand it. But maybe the machine world is alive.
I had an interesting experience one day when a bunch of energy came into me and 10 different things broke in one day. And I figured out how to heal. I mean, basically what you did to the dishwasher, I went and did to all the things that broke except for one thing, which I really didn't like, and I took back to the store. But we're talking, I actually pulled my car into the into a repair place, and they said that the transmission was gone, okay? But I healed it. I laid my hands on it, and actually then I took it back, and they said it was fine. So whatever little elves are there, you can use that same energy to balance it back out.
This is amazing. So, you know, I'm sorry I didn't find out a lot about you, but you're also a powerful healer, and all this juice is coming through you, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be coming through everybody shortly. I mean, and if they're not in alignment, it could do a lot of damage to them. So that's why your books are so important, because we need to get people in alignment and get things straightened out so the energy doesn't disrupt them.
Wow. this is exciting. Well, you know, it's funny because I'm on radio and I've done a number of interviews, and it's amazing how here and there there are these very awake people who are in the media. And I don't think we've busted into the big media wheels yet, but I think there's so many people doing yoga and meditating and having these kind of experiences. I think real national and international TV, movie, and radio entertainment is coming that is very conscious and very aware. And it doesn't have to be all new agey with a lot of, you know, it can be just really good entertainment, good radio, fun and engaging. And here you are.
Yeah, it was weird how I got this radio show. I've had it for 17 years, and I got both a radio and a TV show through the same mechanism. I was doing a favor for a friend. You know, somebody had an emergency and asked me to take over the show because, you know, they figured I could do it. And I took it over, and then all of a sudden I did it for a while, and then they gave me the show. So, you know how unusual that is, where they just give you the show. So
oh,
I did the
impossible.
TV show for 6 years, but then I got really busy doing surgery, and I didn't have time to do it. But now other people want me to do TV shows, so I may go back to that. But you know, when Spirit wants you to do something, they just give it to you. I mean, you don't have to go out and get it. It comes to you, as you probably know.
I love that. Well, and it's funny, you know, you can bang on these doors and please let me in. I'm a good person. I work hard. Let me do the thing. You know, and for years, nothing. But then sometimes just effortlessly, it all just reveals itself. Huh?
Yeah, I think there is a grander plan behind all of this. And like you say, there's a few people who are designated to, you know, to help others. That's basically what we're doing. I mean, I don't make any money off my show. I pay for it, you know, like everybody else does, pay for the time. But I basically just do it as a service. And then it's interesting, you know, in the past where money got tight, I was never allowed to, I would ask, I was never allowed to get rid of the radio show. So in my estimation, the radio show is important to the people running this whole thing, you know, the spiritual hierarchy, whatever you want to call them. This is very important because I was never allowed to drop it.
Well, you know, and that brings up a good question. And by the way, so you said nice things about my book, and this book I just published is like a long introduction to mysticism and spirituality. And I have a series of 10 books, and the future ones I teach people. But I raise questions like, you know, why does it seem like we are ignored? Why do we work so hard? And, you know, why doesn't anything happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? You know, these are fundamental questions that are very confusing
and
question our faith, too. But there are deep mystical answers to this, as you're pointing to. There's a plan.
Yeah. It's not, things are not as they appear, because this time and space, the world of time and space, the third dimension, is basically illusionary, as you point out in your book. It's not, it's a construct. It's not, it's artificial. It's not who we truly are or where we truly live. And that's important to understand, because it's temporary. Nothing here is permanent.
Well, did all this stuff starts slamming into you when you were young, too, or did that come a little bit later?
I was kind of born with spiritual sight and hearing, and then I had a clairvoyant say that, well, she heard to find a surgeon named Susan, so she called all the hospitals and found me. And then she appeared with the Barbara Brennan's Hands of Light book and said I was a healer and needed to get started. Well, I've always gone into meditation for instruction. And so I meditated, and I heard quit your job. And at the time, I was a plastic surgeon earning, you know, a large amount of money. So I quit my job and studied spiritual things for 5 months, you know, fasted, meditated, worked with a clairvoyant group. And then that's when things really started shifting, is when I did that 5 month sabbatical.
I'll tell you, this story of emergence is always so fascinating to me. I love to hear how people went from perhaps a very closed place or a dark place into awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it is the story. And I'm also very involved with spirituality through the arts. I'm a radio host, author, music and video producer, and I find that to be a very important channel for all of this stuff to come through. In fact, I don't know if you want to play one of my songs and you can
hear
what
do that.
I'm up to. In a Dream is a very popular one. I have a video of it too, but if you want to cue that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. Does that mean that we're here in this reality, which is a dream, to be awakened to who we really are?
Oh, that's interesting. You just turn it inside out there. I love that. That's a great approach, yes. This is the dream, and the reality is all that stuff out there
right.
when you go to sleep. Huh?
Yeah.
Well,
tell me about your music. Tell me about where you get your inspirations from.
Well, I'm a cello player, and you can hear my cello on that song and my voice too. That was me. And when I was trained as a classical cellist. I started when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The school, my regular public school, rented me a cello for $8 a year and gave me free lessons. This is the way it was back, you know, in the medieval times. There was actually arts in education. And a lot of people got into music this way. And just as an aside, cutting out funding for arts in schools is just a monstrosity.
It is.
So I learned to play the cello, classically trained, you know, Bach and all this kind of stuff. And then when all this stuff started coming through me and all these spiritual forces were pouring out of me, I started to channel it through my cello and through my voice, like singing. And all this music came out, and it wasn't anything like the classical training I had. It turned out that I was a very good improviser, and pop modality was a little more my thing, and meditation music. Mm-hmm. And when I played in front of people, people went into a deep healing trance.
Right.
And I just kind of followed where this energy was going, and now I can really play for a large audience of people and take them into a very deep meditation and inner journey just through singing and playing cello. You know, people really have visions or talk to their guardian angel or remember a past life in these little gatherings I have.
Music can definitely do that. There's no question.
Oh, the arts.
I interviewed Steve Halprom 2 weeks ago, and he of course, is a master at that.
The grandfather of New Age music, really.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun interview. It really was.
A real visionary guy. But I would say just the arts alone are a way that people can be transported and connect with the transcendental. Just go to an art museum and walk around and let your mind wander. Or opera or dancing. And we've all had that experience of ecstasy while listening to music or dancing or lost in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be very intentionally done, like I'm doing with and what you're doing with through radio, where we're investing this medium with awareness. And even if it's music, I don't have to tell everybody, oh, let's sit down and meditate and be all spiritual. Just play the music and people, the door opens for people. So
they can go
this has been my journey. And to finish the topic is that I've kept following this force, and it's led me into video and music producing and writing books. So you're right. There is kind of a higher agenda, and it is often through the arts. And they up there, you know, are helping. And I think if people open themselves to those channels, they'll tell you what to do.
Yeah. I also want to mention that you use humor a lot in your books, which for these kind of books is unusual, but I enjoyed it.
Thank you. It's a fun, quick read, and I find my own path has been very irreverent, and I'm a little bit of a clown, and
right.
I just tried to put that in my work. And,
you did.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's unusual for a book on mysticism to have so much great humor in it.
Well, you know, if the spiritual dimensions are filled with spirits, you know, fun, playful, erotic spirits, wouldn't that same approach represent them well on Earth, to be playful?
It would. Oh, they're very playful. And they love
playing
little tricks on us, too. for their own amusement.
Exactly. And I think people who get so serious and doctrinaire, and, you know, they're just like, you kill the spirit that way.
Right, right. Now, I think the whole idea, too, that sex is crucial and central to life force energy is an important concept that you bring out in your book, too. And people forget that. People forget the role of the creative energy, which in terms of what we do here is really sex. I mean, that really is what sex is. Sex is raw creative energy. And, you know that Masters of Sex is on now. I think it's on Showtime. And I was actually taught at Washington University by Masters and Johnson's. I took their sex course. And at Hopkins, I took John Money's abnormal sex course. So I was taught sex by the leaders of sex in the time that I went to college and medical school. So I think it's very important to understand these concepts of what sex's role is in spirituality.
And there has been a severing of sexuality and spirituality in a lot of religions, and even in Eastern religions. I mean, India, for all the wonderful things and spirituality coming out from there, is just terribly sexually benighted. And a lot of my friends are into Indian spirituality, but boy, they have a problem with sex. And if that's at the heart of it, you got to wonder how much wisdom there is. There's just a lot of sexual denial and hatred, and I think it leads to India being now called the rape capital of the world, because that's what happens when you deny sexuality.
It
becomes twisted and perverted, and guys start to act really weird and violent and ugly. And only when sexuality is a part of life and in a healthy, natural, balanced state, then it can express itself directly and doesn't get into all this just meanness and violative behavior.
And isn't it interesting that all of that stuff is being revealed now? All of the perversion within the Catholic Church and within, like you say, in the India and the different countries that have the sex slave problems and the child pornography problems. All of that's being revealed now, and I can't help but think it's being revealed so it could be healed. Because it's been around, you know, it has to have been around, and just hidden, you know, hidden from sight.
I love what you're saying. That's the only way this will be healed, in all the little dark places and demonic chambers. They have to be open to the light. We have
to
find out about all this stuff.
Yeah, and you're right. A healthy sexuality. Yeah, a healthy sexuality in each individual is how you prevent the underground stuff that's so damaging to people.
And that's just on the dark side of it, that, yes, denial and sexual hatred causes all these problems. But on the other side, the liberating of the serpentine force, the kundalini force, is a direct pathway to the sacred. And I'm not talking about irresponsible, you know, promiscuous sex. I'm talking about, it can be wild and totally pleasurable and exciting. But when this force opens up, wow, not only does it excite your sex life, but it also can open you up to all these subtle energies and dimensions.
And
by the way, I wanted to mention that I do readings. If anybody wants to call in, that I can give them on-air reading, a mystical reading.
Great. Well, that's something they should take advantage of. Do you have? Do you want to give your contact information really quickly right now, so that if people want to look you up, they can do that?
MysticPete.com is where to get me easily. My book is available all over the web. Amazon and iTunes, just type in Mystic Pete Chronicles and you'll find me, and you can get off my website. And there's a free download on my website, too, if you want a couple chapters, just have a little giggle and a little insight. There it is.
Great. Well, Well, I was going to say, I suspect that once we really start exploring sexuality, especially the energy connected to sexuality, we're going to be able to manifest much better. We're going to be able to have more of a laser-like intent through that energy. I think there's a whole bunch of stuff we haven't discovered yet about it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, and I think there are sexual powers that, as I say, kind of can blast us into these other dimensions and are also key to finding power in the material world. In my book, I talk about injecting your sex chi into the money wheels to help them spin.
Right.
And I think, and I actually had an experience of that. I was broke, a broke musician, and I had some kind of sexual insight. I know a lot of people are looking for this money sex connection and, you know, think and grow rich and be positive, but I learned about what was out there, and all of it was kind of weak spiritual technology, but then I had this insight into how our sex force can be kind of leveraged, and I ended up making a lot of money. So I there's something there. It's something very important, and I think as people's sexual force awakens, they will find themselves finding and having an easier time in this world. It lubricates the material world mechanisms. By the way,
well, it's an energy. It basically is an energy source that you have to learn to tap into, you see.
Exactly. There's an echo on my line, and I'm wondering if one of the guys can play another piece of my music and we can get the connection reestablished. You can play something from my meditation album, which is either Deep Self or Open Hand. This is my meditation music.
Well, that seems to use some of the Tibetan spiritual technology to open the heart chakra. Is that what you meant to do?
Yes, exactly. Well, there's this, these voices coming through me, and some of them seem to be kind of Tibetan-esque. And they take people out into other worlds, and it's a very extraordinary experience for me.
It is. Yeah, sound technology is very interesting. It's vibrational in nature, so it can heal, it can open portals, it can do all sorts of stuff.
Are you also in music or the arts in some other fashion?
Well, surgery is like an art, if you think about it. We create all sorts of stuff in plastic surgery. I mean, it really is. It's sculpting in flesh, isn't it?
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, most plastic surgeons were sculptors in previous lives. I had a life where I was sculpting in alabaster.
You remember this?
Yeah. Especially when I see anything done in alabaster.
And now you're able to do it on the human form.
Yeah, you're limited by your imagination and your blood supply.
Interesting. And do you feel like the technology really has evolved to a place where, like, the results are you know, where you want it to be?
Yeah, I think we're going to do some more stuff with stem cells, you know, and scaffolding. Like, they're able to make ears and noses and stuff that are just amazing with the scaffolding technology. So there's more progress to be made. You know, it's not done yet, but amazing advances have been made during my lifetime, during the past 30 years.
I think people who have severe health problems and are really facing the end of their life, if they could just hold on for another decade or two.
Yeah, really.
It's going to inject something in your vein and you're going to get young again. I think this is coming.
Yeah, I think we're having all sorts of breakthroughs in understanding aging and longevity, and I think we're close to understanding cancer too. So,
well, my most far-ranging vision shows me that there will be a union, a coming together of science, technology, and spirituality, and we will have thinking machines and consciousness in sciences. So it's a very exciting time, I think, if we can just not wipe ourselves out in the next few years.
Right. That's true. Well, one of the most important things that I've found in the new technologies in medicine is that you cannot be limited by the third dimension. A lot of things are actually fourth dimensional intrusions into the third dimension, and you have to understand multidimensional reality. I've interviewed Maku Kichu from Superstring Theory and Amit Goswami many times on quantum theory, and you have to understand the various types of physics to understand that we live in a multidimensional universe, not just a third dimensional universe. And that's how we're going to understand more about medicine. That's important. Like spontaneous remission.
Yeah, well, there's some notion in some spiritual circles that there's real kind of evil out there, or reptilian people who are trying to take us over and so forth. And my own feeling is that once you get kind of away from planet Earth and all of our animalistic aggression, it's just angelic. It's just beauty out there. But not everybody believes that.
Yeah, in one dimension up. But you see, the thing, you've heard of the Luciferian Rebellion, right? I mean, most of us have heard it in Sunday school.
Something like that, yeah. The
Luciferian Rebellion was not really a rebellion. It was just an idea that we should have more free will. But the problem was that when we got more free will, we forgot our connection to Source. And that's why we fell. You know, when they say Adam fell, the whole thing fell dimensionally. And we're coming out of that. That's what the ascension is. We're ascending into a higher light realm where there's less evil because we have more connection to Source. And so what we'll be doing is connecting to Source and solving all our problems. And what you're hoping, and I'm hoping too, is that our problems don't overwhelm us before we make that connection. We're being forced out of the lower dimensions into the higher dimensions, and not everybody's going to make it. I mean, I used to have dinner with the masters that came to Atlanta. They would tag me to go out to dinner with them before they did their weekend presentations here. So I got to talk to a lot of masters from all over the world, and the masters explained this to me. They, you know, this was years ago, but it's happening right now, that this energy coming in is enlightening many, many people, but it's also going to implode the people who aren't ready for it. And so, you know, that's what it's going to look like. But it's an outside force. It's changing things, and actually will be, you know, will be in a less dense place. The Earth is ascending, and then we'll have a lot less problems at that level of ascension. So it's a cause for celebration, really.
Yeah, well, this is a basic mystical question and one of sole purpose. On the one hand, it's all set up in a kind of a rather cruel way, because we are now forced to change and break mm-hmm. out of our primate cocoons, or
right.
we're all going to die. The planet Earth is going to be sterilized, because there's just too much danger. There's too many problems coming from too many directions for us to survive this unless we put on our spiritual robes and stand up into a higher consciousness. Then we will pass through. But the point is, it's set up. You know, it's kind of like a harsh reality.
It's a final exam.
Yeah.
It's just the final exam, and either you pass it or you don't. But, you know, it's okay even if you don't pass it. Spirit can create an infinite number of worlds, so it's no big deal. We could blow the place up and go somewhere else and just start over. It's okay.
I appreciate your rosy outlook on the subject. I mean, to me, you know, it's if we die, if we exterminate humanity, it will mm-hmm. be a profoundly grievous occasion. I mean, on a personal level, tremendous loss.
It's the end of an experiment. Okay,
yes.
It's the end of the experiment of the rebellion, which wasn't real. Like, again, it wasn't really a rebellion. What it was an experiment of free will. But the problem is that we all forgot we were connected to Source. I mean, except a few people like Jesus and Buddha, and, you know, I mean, there were a few that came forth to remind us we're connected, but, you know, the majority of us forgot we were connected. And now we have the opportunity to reconnect. That's why it's wonderful.
It begs the question, though: is God? Is the deity kind of a mean guy who's trying to punish us?
Oh no! God gave permission for the request from Lucifer. You know, Lucifer was an angel. You understand? He was over 31 planets, and they put in a request to have these 31 planets have less free will. I mean, have more free will. Okay, and it was granted. Yeah, go ahead and try it. Well, it didn't work out well. I mean, well, it worked out, but we learned a lot. But there was a lot of suffering. I mean, you look back in history, and it's pretty much the history of suffering, if you think about it. So there was a lot to learn, but that was learned through suffering, which is what you said in your book, which is true. You learn a lot more when you're suffering.
Yeah.
Because you it has your full attention. But it's over. I mean, the experiment is over. That's what the ascension is. It's the end of the Luciferian rebellion. And it's a lot to be grateful for. We've come through it. We've learned a lot. Time to graduate. Time to go on. And I don't really get that we're going to not get through the window. I think the majority of us are going to get through the window that are now now doing the work. I mean, yeah, there's some people who are still asleep that might not make it through, but, you know, there's always reincarnation, so that's okay, you know. They'll be fine.
So you're saying this isn't the product of a mean, judgmental God?
No. It was
will.
Granted. It was just
yes.
God granted the free will experiment to occur.
And this is also our own aggression coming back at us, and now we have to face these dark shadows.
Yeah, the law of cause and effect. I mean, it's not a local law. It's a, you know, it's a cosmic law.
Well put.
So,
I'm glad to see that you feel optimistic. I am too. I do think we will make it through this portal, but I think it's going to require people to dig very deeply inside of themselves, and we will be pushed right to the edge, both personally and nationally.
Yeah, I think that can happen. I think what the master said was that, and they agreed with one another, which was interesting, that there would be a certain percentage of people that didn't make it through. That, you know, that some people wouldn't make it through, and that was okay. You know, it would be a separation. I think the Bible says the wheat's separated from the chaff. I mean, there's a separation happening. So everybody who wants to make it through should probably start attending to their, you know, spiritual guidance and doing what it says.
This is an important message. But I think a lot of people are just really interested in being comfortable. Just let me have my TV and my six-pack of beer and my nice little cube of apartment and leave me alone. And I think...
That's fine. That's fine. They have free will. That's fine. They have free will.
Yes. It's more common than the urge to spread our wings and discover all this stuff, but I think it's really danger and the imminent demise that
they're
is going to motivate people to change.
Yeah, and if you're asleep, you may not. Well, I mean, but it's again a free will issue. If you don't want to, if you only want to listen to what is outside of yourself coming through the TV, and don't want to listen to what's inside of yourself that you access through meditation and art and music and all of the things, yoga, tai chi, all of the spiritual disciplines, then that's what you'll do. I mean, it's okay to do that. It's just that the end result may be different than if you actually, you know, connect with your higher guidance and start changing your life as it is directing you.
Exactly.
But I do agree with you. It requires change. I mean, people have to want to change. Norm Shealy, who I've interviewed a number of times on this show, said, "Don't give me anybody who has more than 6 weeks left to live because they don't want to change."
Yes.
I used to love that saying.
That's amazing. It's a great statement.
It's so true.
You can give people all kinds of information and techniques and practices, and these are very effective, real things. And people just don't feel like
don't do
doing
them. That's right. That's
and
right.
It's only danger sometimes and threat of annihilation that is the impetus.
Absolutely. They don't have 6 weeks left to live. That's true.
But
again, it's free will. We are still in a free will zone, okay?
Yeah.
We are still in the third dimension in the Luciferian free will. Everybody has the ability to do what they want to do, okay? I mean, they really do. There's nothing pushing them yet. But the energy will start to push. The energy coming in from the galactic center will start to push.
You know what? I want to talk a little bit about health. You're a doctor, and this show has a lot to do with health. And I have some interesting notions about that. In the appendix of my book, I have a whole new diet for people. It's called the Ancestor Practice. And it's a way to get yourself healthy and lose weight, and it's not really based on micromanaging your eating habits. It's a whole different thing. But I wanted to talk about how people can generally come into health. And I have a lot of friends, frankly, who are trying to do it through controlling their food intake to just a neurotic degree. And I don't think this is the way that most people are going to get healthy. I mean, certainly if you have a serious celiac disease or something, or serious allergies, yes. Mm-hmm. But for most of us, the health first starts actually with emotional well-being. And if you are able to face your emotions and feel them and exercise them, then that's the basic platform for health. If you have fears you're not facing, if you have a lot of anger that's inside of you bubbling away, or if you have grief, sadness that you've never faced, if you've never grieved a loss in your life and these things are just simmering inside of you, there's just all this inner tension, and that's just a recipe for disease. So I think people really need to pay attention to their emotional body. And
they do, absolutely.
You know, pulling apart these little knots of pain, and you'll just you'll be amazed at how much energy is released and how what a glow comes over you just by resolving your emotional issues. And then the next thing after emotional health is exercise. You know, we evolved in times where everybody was walking all day long, running, just doing things, pounding food into mash and so forth. And I think if you get exercise every day, you can eat almost anything, you know. But but that's like number two. And yes, diet is very important. Anything, eating good, organic, healthy foods. But when people get into micromanaging their diet and counting every, it's just, it turns you neurotic. It makes you worried and a very narrow person. And you should enjoy food, enjoy cooking, enjoy the experience of eating with other people. And that really brings a lot of health, not like, you know, every little sprout and bean and, you know, every everything you have to mince carefully. No, this just gets you worried. So I just wanted to explore that issue first.
Well, it is true that, in my experience, we've had a cancer clinic here since 99. In my experience, when we look at the cause of these cancers, it's rarely due to the diet. It is often due to an emotional conflict or a biological conflict that was caused by an emotional, a big emotional problem that lowered the energy of an organ. That's usually the cause of it. So you're absolutely right that controlling the emotions, especially in chronic disease, they're much more of a problem than the diet. Now, once you get ill, you know, once you have cancer, there is evidence that going on a raw food diet can be very beneficial because it frees up energy. You know, that would be something that you could try if you had cancer. You know, that, but a lot of people have been vegan and very strict on their diet and still gotten cancer. So that's
and I've seen a lot of people on these strict diets who destroy their health. This food isn't really
B12.
What they're designed for.
Yeah, you have to be careful. And not all body types fit with all diets. You have to know a little bit about your blood type and your body type to know what diet is gonna be good for you.
Yeah, now the thing about anger is that it's violent and destructive. And if you do have anger inside of you that's unexpressed, now don't express it on your loved ones. Go to the gym, go in the woods, go yell it out privately. It's your own private emotional yoga you should do. But if this kind of distress is in your body, how can it not start to chew up your cells and your organ systems? It's going to cause destruction. But I would ask people, if you know someone with cancer or who's sick, do not go up to them and say, oh, you have repressed anger. This is something kind of in the New Age field that's just so rude. Don't start solving people's problems and think you know why they're sick and giving them advice. We don't know that, you know, we have all these, like, armchair therapists. And I've had friends who are very sick, and then they get this advice all the time, and it's just so insulting, really. You know, it's true. Anger may cause cancer, but please don't tell somebody that who has cancer, you know.
Right. That's true. Now, somewhere in your book, you have something about the diet, and the punchline is, getting rid of gluten or milk or lactose. Do you remember where that was?
Well, I think I've had a lot of people give me dietary advice over the years, and any kind of depending on what their persuasion is, what diet they're on, what almost cult they're in at times, they mm-hmm. see the answer in whatever their, you know, the flavor of the month is. You know, if I say, yeah, I have knee pain, yeah, I had knee problems for a while. It had to do with my posture. I immediately got mm-hmm. advice to stop eating dairy. Or I'm like, come on, you don't know what. Who are you to advise me with your, you know, simplistic diet suggestions? Mm-hmm. That if that works for you, great. But like let's tone down the new age advice giving. But you know, I was wondering if you want to hear one more song. I think the hour's almost
sure.
up.
Sure. Well, actually, they said we can go longer than an hour, so.
Oh.
There's no show after us. You lucked
great.
Out.
Oh, that's great.
You went
well,
to...
I have a piece called Dub Step Up, which is very popular. I'm about to release
okay.
a video on that one.
Swing. Step up, step up to the mic and sing. Step up, step up, step up to the kick and swing. Step up, step up, step up to the mic and sing.
Step up.
Well, that was great.
That's my song called Dub Step Up. And
uh-huh.
Actually, I have to run off to another interview in a minute, but I do a lot through, as I say, spirituality through the arts, and I have videos up on YouTube, and I have a Twitter feed, and I put out sayings a lot. And I would encourage people also to do art and find their inner muse, and don't think of the arts as something just for celebrity and for the famous, but something that everyone should do, write songs, dance, paint pictures. This is just such an important vehicle for spirituality and for letting these higher forces come through you in your daily life. And just getting together and singing with other people, such an ecstatic experience. And I've just let this come through me, and just all kinds of projects have emerged, and it's a very rewarding and rich part of my life. But I would be very touched if listeners want to check out my book. As I say, there's a free chapter or two on my website and all over the web, Amazon and iTunes and so forth, and you can get it in any medium and or also paperback. And I am also involved in this kind of emergent underground DJ community, and I have a show in Los Angeles that features DJs. And the whole ravey thing and Burning Man and electronic music seems to be an important channel right now for the consciousness that's coming in. I mean, there's a lot of kind of destructive things in that scene, too, but there's also a lot of new ideas and novelty and brilliant creation. So I'm kind of peripheral to that, too, and you can hear that in my music.
So and you have a radio show. You want to mention that?
Yeah, well, Saturday nights, tonight, later tonight, the day is stacked up already. Yes, that's on midnight till 2 a.m. I have a different DJ on every week, and that features all these electronic forms like dubstep,
right.
House, trance, tech, drum and bass, and we play music. And it's in Los Angeles on 88.9 FM Los Angeles and KXLU.com worldwide. So if you want to hear me playing music, love for you to tune in.
Great. Well, I found your joke. I'm going to read it.
Oh,
Pete. I'm so fed up with the world that I'm going to become a Jewish Muslim extremist and change my name to Mohammed Shlomovitz, advisor.
Ah.
Have you tried eliminating dairy?
That's it. Yes.
That's it. It's on page 107.
That's one of my best jokes.
In with a joke. Well, great. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Mystic Pete. It's been a delightful hour, and I enjoyed your book.
Dr. Kolb, thank you. You're a great host.
Great. Thank you.
Talk to you.
Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week for the book Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life. That's by Bonnie Glass Coffin. And on the 28th, Becky Chambers, Whole Body Vibration, The Future of Good Health. Thanks so much for joining us, and join us next week.